Glory to God, he's good, isn't he? I said, he's good, isn't he? Amen. I'll tell you something, God's about to do some amazing things in this building tonight. God's about to do some amazing things in this building tonight. Good to see you. Bless you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's going to do some amazing things in here tonight. Praise the Lord. I expect it, do you?
Yes.
Amen. I said, I expect, do you?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Since we were with you the last time, I'm telling you, things have really ramped up. And we've seen some tremendous things. And I want to read some testimonies to you. Can I do that?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. On our website, you can always look at durantministries.org. We have a testimonies page. And I'm just going to read some of the ones that we had. And some that I'm just recalling as we go here. But this has just happened in the last year. This person said, I had back pain for 14 years, constant pain, day and night. 14 years. After hands were laid on me, Jesus healed me and took my pain away. Praise the Lord. This person said, I have had bad shoulders since I was 8 years old. The pain and lightheadedness is now gone. Thank you, Jesus. I'm healed. Somebody else said, I was diagnosed 2.5 years ago with stage 4 cancer in my lung, brain, and bones. I never received that report, but I had pain in my groin, right shoulder, and spine. After hands were laid on me, I received my healing. All the pain left me. I felt life and joy fill me with vitality. I ran around half the sanctuary for the first time in 2.5 years. Praise the Lord Jesus, my healer. This lady testified to us the next day that she went home that evening after hands were laid on her. She said, I live in a split-level house, and I went home and just ran up and down my stairs. And the next morning, she got up, she jogged around her block. Praise the Lord. She said, I haven't been able to run in 2.5 years. She was running. Glory to God. This person said, I was diagnosed with disc bulging in cervical spine, C2, C5, C8. People know their numbers. With large swelling and knots across the back of my neck and pressure in the base of my skull. Now, no bulging, no swelling, no pain. I can move my neck and I have no hunchback. Praise the Lord. Amen. A man just a couple of weeks ago, we were in Southern Alabama ministering, and a man had a knot on the back of his head. He actually had been in prison, had a fight in prison, got a head injury. As a result, then in the last several years, a knot had been coming on the back of his neck and head, and it was about the size of a lemon on the back of his head. And he said it was starting to interfere with his sight, and it was starting to interfere with his balance, and he was having issues in those areas, and so he was about to go have an MRI and get it all sorted out to see what was going on. We ministered to him by the laying on of hands, and by the end of the service, the whole knot was gone, and he was free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Another person said, I had shoulder and neck pain, was stiff, and it hurt to move. I'm moving fluidly now. My neck snapped a couple of times, and I'm moving my arms up and around easily. Praise the Lord. See, a lot of folks healed in their neck and back. This other person said, I've dealt with back issues since my freshman year of high school with bulging and dislocated discs. I've been to the chiropractor over the years, and he laid hands on me on Friday. I felt instant relief, and by the next day, no pain. This person was a corrections officer and had tremendous back pain all the time, and she was free. Praise the Lord. Let's see. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. While Annie was here, I received healing in my shoulders, which have been sore and frozen basically for years. My whole body feels more movable, so much more than it has for the last 2 years. Someone else said, my breathing and heaviness is definitely better. I can walk from my car to the store without stopping and resting and hurting. Oh, praise the Lord. That means something. Amen. Praise God. Someone else said, I received miraculous healing from God. I suffered acute and excruciating chronic nerve pain for over 4 years. On Sunday, God delivered me from that pain. Praise the Lord. One woman in St. Louis had several vertebrae in her neck fused with a metal rod. And she couldn't move her head one way or the other. She had to move her entire body. one way or the other to do anything. And we ministered to her by the laying on of hands. The power of God went into her. She went back to her seat. And in a moment, she said, I heard a pop, and I turned my head. All of a sudden, she just kept doing this back and forth. She said, the pastor said it was worth having the meetings just for that. Praise the Lord. Another woman had a metal plate in the back of her neck. And it had dislodged and was causing tremendous pain. And she said, I was about to have surgery to have it replaced because, getting on a nerve or something like that. And she couldn't move certain ways. And we ministered to her by the laying on of hands, told her to move her neck. She could move it every which way. And there was no pain. She said, I can't feel anything back there anymore. So we don't know what happened to the metal. Honestly, I don't care. Amen. But several folks that we've seen have had issues with metal rods and pins and things and have had now complete mobility. Just a month or so ago, we were over in New Jersey, and a man who had had an issue with his foot and ankle were crushed. And when they repaired it with surgery and fused the bones, one foot went this way and the other foot went like this at about a 45-degree angle. And so it was constantly like that. We ministered to him by the laying on of hands, and his foot straightened out and he could walk straight. Right there in that service. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Another woman had had an accident on her bicycle and crushed, I believe it was her left hand, crushed her left hand a year prior to the time that we were there. And she said, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't lift a purse. I couldn't button a jacket. I couldn't do any. It was not useful at all, that hand. And she said, after you laid hands on me, she said, I could do this right away. And then she said, she said, watch me. And she buttoned her jacket in front of me and she picked up her purse. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A young man over in Jackson, Mississippi, just about a month ago, was born, he had a stroke at birth. And so there were several parts of his body that looked deformed as a result because they didn't develop properly without the use. And so one of his hands was one of the things that he came for was that he didn't have use of his right hand. And it was kind of deformed and like this. And we ministered to him by the laying on of hands. And I told him, I took his hand, I said, give me a squeeze. And he squeezed my hand. I said, is that different? He said, yeah, I couldn't do that before. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's Jesus. I said, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. Amen. That's Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We've seen at least two people that we know of that were born blind in one eye, each of them born blind in one eye, and they left our services seeing in both eyes. Praise the Lord. And then several others who were not born blind, but had lost sight in one eye and regained their sight. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Several people leaving without hearing aids. Hallelujah. And so that's Jesus. Amen. I said, that's Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. So I want to invite you tonight because the Bible says that faith comes. Faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing what? Testimonies? No, the word. Hearing the word. Testimonies will inspire our faith. Amen. They'll inspire the faith that we have. Glory to God. But what gives you faith is the word, what God said. Amen. And I love that, of course, Romans says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. But there's another translation of that I like even better that says this, faith is awakened by hearing the word. Faith is awakened by hearing the word. I like that better because those of us in faith circles and faith churches, when we say faith comes by hearing, if we're not careful, we'll think that faith is accumulated by hearing. And we think sometimes that if we have an issue, we have to accumulate a lot of faith before that issue is addressed. And so we think that if faith comes by hearing, then I just need to keep hearing, keep hearing, keep hearing, keep hearing, and then we never act. Or we never release faith. We just think, if I hear more, eventually something's just going to happen, like spontaneous combustion. I'm going to hear enough faith, and someday something's going to explode and change. But that's not what the word says. It says it's awakened by hearing, because the Bible says in Hebrews that God has given to every man a measure of faith. Every person has faith. It can be developed, absolutely. Amen. And just like muscles, everybody's born with muscles. But not everybody's a bodybuilder. Right? Not everybody's strong. It doesn't mean they lack what the capacity to be strong, but they've not developed the muscles that they have. And so faith is like that if you don't use it. That's why James said faith without works is dead being alone. Not works like I got to do. No, it's just a matter of using on a regular basis. Amen. And developing. So faith is awakened when we hear the word. I like that. Because something happens when you hear truth. There's a capacity on the inside of every man, every person, to believe God. God has given to every man, every man, a measure of faith. And when you hear the truth of God's word, that faith wakes up. That faith wakes up. Hallelujah. You don't need to accumulate. As if you can judge how much faith something's going to take by how big your problem is. You cannot measure spiritual realities by natural circumstances. Spiritual realities far outweigh natural circumstances. Jesus said, with man, it's impossible, but not with God. With God? With God? All things with God. With God, now all things are possible. With God, all things have become possible. So if you've gotten a report that something's impossible or something's incurable, if something's incurable, that just means it's medically incurable. That just means medically incurable. That just means man hasn't figured out how to get the job done. Well, sometimes man falls short. With man, it's impossible, Jesus said. There will be things that with man, it's impossible. We may pour all our money to finding a cure for something and it never be found, medically speaking. But that doesn't mean now that it's completely impossible, because with God, all things are possible. Praise the Lord. So I want to invite you to go with me to Mark's Gospel, the 5th chapter. Let's let our faith wake up tonight. Amen. I said, let's let our faith wake up tonight. Hallelujah. Mark's Gospel, the 5th chapter, and it may be a very familiar portion of Scripture. And I don't want to talk a long time. I just want to let our faith wake up so we can receive the power tonight. Amen. So that we know what we're receiving, so we know what we're looking for. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't you like it when you go to a nice restaurant and the waiter describes the food, describes the specials, you know, and they do it so well, and then your mouth is just watering. because you're like, ooh, I can expect that. So we want to tell you what you can expect tonight. Amen. Look here in Mark's Gospel, the 5th chapter, and again, very familiar to a lot of us, verse 25. We sang about her a moment ago. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. 12 years. At what point do you think she thought this was permanent? Jesus came to a man at the pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5 and been that way for 38 years. At what point do you realize, you think, or just kind of say, well, this is it. This is my new normal. This is the way it is. She'd been this way 12 years, had suffered many things from many physicians. This doesn't even say she suffered from the disease. If you've been to many physicians, you've suffered. Sometimes the treatment's just as bad. Amen. Some people don't even want to face the treatment for a disease. She suffered many things of many physicians and didn't get any better, but rather grew worse. At what point do you think, I'm done? I give up. This is it. Verse 27. When she heard. When she heard about Jesus. When she heard something about Jesus, what did she hear about Jesus that made a difference? He's a nice guy, loves people, sweet and kind, good teacher. All those things are wonderful. But it says when she heard of Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Why would you want to touch him? What did she hear that made her want to touch him? What did she hear that made her want to touch his clothes? She had to have heard something was happening. Amen. Not just, it might, there's a possibility. Let's see what happens. She had to have heard something that made her act. Because she'd already suffered many things of many physicians. She can't be a very strong person at this point. To make the effort to get out in public, to make the effort to get where he was, let alone the Jewish tradition and Jewish laws where she shouldn't even be out in public to begin with her condition. She heard of Jesus, and she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Let's find out why. For she said, if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well, whole. If I can just touch his clothes, when I touch his clothes, when I touch his clothes, I'll be well. When I touch his clothes, I'll be well. Let's go on reading. And Jesus, first she said, If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, verse 29, everybody say immediately. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt something. Everybody say she felt something. She felt something. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. She felt something. Now, we know, as faith people, we're not moved by what we feel, right? In other words, we're not ruled by our senses. That's not what tells us what to do. Amen. We do not walk by sight. We walk by faith. However, when God moves, there are times we get to feel it. Kevin was talking about it this morning. Amen. I love to feel his presence. Amen. I don't have to feel his presence to know he's here. Why? Because he said he is. All I need is what he said for me to believe. Amen. The feeling's not what makes us believe. What he said is what we believe. But after we believe, oftentimes there are accompanying feelings. Amen. And as faith people, we ought not be afraid of feelings. And as a matter of fact, as faith people, I think we ought to feel more. Let me say it that way. I think I need to say that again. You were like, wait, what? I said, I think as faith people, we ought to feel more. Experience more. Amen? Because we believe. Not to prove we believe, but because we believe, there ought to be a corresponding something. We don't live life flatlined. Jesus came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. So why do we walk around going, praise the Lord? I just believe I receive. I 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 believe I receive. And there's no expectation, anticipation, joy, and faith, and peace in believing. She came in the press behind, touched his garment, for she said, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be whole. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt something. She felt something. Something's different. Glory to God. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power, everybody say power, power had gone out of him. Jesus knew power went out of him. She felt something go into her. He felt something or knew something went out of him. That's what we call the tangible anointing. Everybody say tangible. Tangible. Tangible, meaning perceptible to the touch. What is a manifestation of God's presence? Manifestations of the Holy Ghost are things clearly evident to the senses. That's what manifest means. Clearly evident to the senses. And the Bible tells us to desire manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Desire manifestations, things that are clearly evident to the senses. Have we forgotten that when that realm meets this realm, sometimes they overlap where we can feel it? She felt something in her. He felt or knew power went out of him. Something told him power went out, and it went into her. there was a great exchange of power. Everybody say power.
Power.
And isn't power what we need to change our bodies? We need power. I said, we need power. We need power. He's the source of power. We are not the source of power. He is the source of power. Power went out of him. Glory to God. Look with me to Luke's Gospel, the 6th chapter. Luke chapter 6. Seventeenth verse. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. They came to hear and be healed. They didn't just come to hear. Amen. Like I said, sometimes we've gotten this idea that we just got to come, we've got to hear and accumulate a lot of faith, so sometimes some spontaneous combustion is going to happen. If we get enough, something's going to happen. They came to hear, but they came to hear and be changed. They came on purpose to be changed. Amen. Why did they do that? Why would they expect that? As well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed, and the whole multitude sought to touch him. To touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. The reason they wanted to touch him is because power went out of him. Have we forgotten that touching the presence of God, amen, we receive power. Or do we just lay hands on people, go back to your seat, let us know if anything changed? When the woman with the issue of blood came in the press behind and touched his garment, and he knew power went out of him, he said, Who touched my clothes? Somebody touched me. And his disciples said, Lord, everybody's touching you. What do you mean, who touched me? He said, No, something's different. Power went out of me and it went into somebody. Who was it? Who did the power go into? Power went into somebody. And so it wasn't the physical act of touching that caused the power to flow. Amen. Because the Bible says how God, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He was anointed with power, so he had power resident in him, but not everybody was getting it. Even people who touched him. Something was different. Somebody came on purpose to get the power. And he didn't know who got it. If he didn't know who got it, it wasn't his decision who got it. Was it? He said, who touched my clothes? The disciples say, everybody's touching you. No, something's different. Somebody got it. Somebody got power. Who got it? Who got it? He said, who touched my clothes? That phrase even meant something to one person in that crowd. Because didn't she say, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be whole? And all of a sudden, Jesus said, who touched my clothes? She thought, ooh, that's what I said. I'm the one. I'm the one. So it's not just the physical aspect. It's always the faith aspect. Amen? It's not just being in the room. In Luke chapter 5, it says that Jesus was in a room full of people teaching, and the power of God was present to heal. There was a purpose for the power being present. Amen? The power, everybody say power. The power was present to heal. That was the purpose for the power being present. But none of those people received the power. Except for one man whose four friends brought him, couldn't even get in the building. Took him up on the roof, tore open the roof. That's somebody expecting to get something. Amen. You don't do that if you're not expecting to receive something. And the Bible says Jesus saw something when that happened. He saw faith. Could see it. He can see your faith. He can see your faith. Your faith will not go unseen. So it wasn't the fact that they were all in the room where they got it, even though the power was present. There was nobody expecting to receive that power but that one person. But he came for power and he left with it. He left whole and healed. So this woman came to Jesus, told him, the Bible says, told him all the truth. How many of you know women can tell all the truth? We can tell all the truth. So she probably said, well, the first doctor, you know, 12 years ago. And he tried this and it didn't work. And then I tried. And Mark tells us the man version. She spent all her money. Kept getting worse. Didn't get any better. Suffered a lot. That's the man version. But the woman told him all the truth. And apparently he was okay with that. Because he said, daughter, your faith. Your faith, your faith, your faith has made you whole. If he didn't know who got the power, it wasn't his decision who got the power. So whose decision was it? Her decision. She decided to be healed. She didn't just desire to be healed. She decided to be healed. Why? Power went out of him. She heard that power was coming out of him. I said, she heard that power was coming out of him. So she said, I'm going to get that power. Even if I can only touch his clothes, I'll get that power. In Luke 6, the multitudes came to hear him and to be healed. And they wanted to touch him because power was going out of him. Again, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He anointed him. Isaiah, the 10th chapter and the 27th verse says this, it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. Well, what is the anointing? We talk about, you know, anointing in church, and it seems like such a churchy word that we really don't even know what it means. We just know it makes us feel good sometimes. Ooh, it was anointed. Did you feel the anointing? Oh, so anointed. Almost like it's just the thing that makes us feel good. But to anoint anything outside of a religious setting, anoint simply means to paint or to rub or to smear. Anoint's prettier. It's a nicer word. So when the Bible says that God anointed Jesus. It means that God put himself on Jesus. Painted himself on Jesus. Jesus said in Luke's gospel, the 4th chapter, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. And they knew that it was the anointing that destroyed the yoke. So if that thing that destroys yokes is on that man, I want to touch him. Because what's on him is going to destroy what's in me. I said, what's on him is what's going to destroy what's been eating at me. I want what's on him. There's power on him to deliver me. I want to touch that. It's powerful. It's real because it's God. The anointing is not something God sends on his behalf. Do you understand? When we say, well, the service was so anointed, we're almost like, you know, it's just this airy feeling, ethereal, can't describe. No, it's God that you felt. You felt him. The anointing is the manifested presence of the Lord that you feel. It's okay to feel. It's power. And it's God. Jesus said this. He said, it's not even me doing the works. It's the Father in me. He does the work. What Jesus did on this earth is not because he was Jesus. It's because he was Jesus anointed. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. Everybody say, it's the anointing. What's the anointing? It's God on someone. God on. It's not that someone. It's God on. Amen. It was God on Philip. Many lame people were healed in Acts chapter 8. Was God on Stephen? Great signs and wonders among the people. Was God on Paul and Barnabas? It was God on Peter and John. How God wrought special miracles, Acts chapter 19, special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed out of them, and the evil spirits went out of them. God wrought special miracles. Power went out. Power went out. Power went out. What do we need? Power. Amen. Tangible. It can be tangible. When that realm comes in contact with this realm, oftentimes it becomes tangible. I first became acquainted with that tangible anointing in Brother Hagin's ministry. I knew that God loved people. I knew that God healed people. I'd read stories about it, you know, but I never came in contact with a person who had been anointed by God with a special anointing. Never seen that before. I was fascinated by it. Brother Hagin would say, tell people his testimony, how God appeared to him. You haven't told about it this morning. How Jesus appeared to him in 1950, put the finger of his right hand in the palm of each one of Brother Hagin's hands. And he said his hands began to burn like he was holding coals of fire. And Jesus said, you got to tell the people, this anointing will not work unless you tell the people. Tell them I told you to tell them. Tell them I appeared to you. Tell them if they'll believe that and receive it, that that anointing will go into them. That means it had to come out of him and go into them. So he said, I can tell when you take it. That tangible anointing, he says, I can tell when you take it. He would say oftentimes, if I handed you a $10 bill, I could tell when you took it out of my hand. It's perceptible to the touch. He would talk about that anointing, and I was fascinated by it. I'd say, my goodness, how does he know? You know, I listened to the testimony. I think, wow. And then the first time he called me and said, come down here, and he laid his hands in my hands. And he asked me, he said, can you feel that? And I looked at him, and I went, uh-huh. I felt. I don't know that I even expected to feel anything. But he said that this anointing would be transmitted into your hands. And I thought, well, I believe it because you're telling me. But then I felt it. I could feel it burning in my own hands. And the first person I laid hands on, something went out of me and went into them. They didn't know it was my first time. I was thrilled. God used me to help somebody else. The most thrilling and humbling experience of my whole life. That God would use people to move his power through so they could have something to touch. And they would touch him. You can touch him. You can touch him. So I first became acquainted with that power through Brother Hagin's ministry. And I saw how God used people, and the contact of his hands transmitted something. It was God's power into people's bodies. You don't have to feel it, but you also can feel it. Hallelujah. But you know, if we don't even think about it, if we don't expect it, we'll miss out on that dimension of God that's available to us. Talk to people all the time. They say, you put your hands on me, I just felt something. Felt something. It's the anointing. It's God. You felt God. You felt God. Is that real? Hallelujah. Look with me to 1 Corinthians 12th chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Amen? And members individually. And God has appointed. God has appointed these in the church. In the church. In his body. And incidentally, in this list he's about to list here, These are basically in the order in which they appeared in the early church, not in order of importance in this passage. First apostles, those were the first ones. Second prophets. Third teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. We all fit in verse 28, somewhere. This isn't just talking about people behind a pulpit. Helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. These are all members of the body of Christ. God's given us all something to do. Amen. But notice he said this, miracles and gifts of healing. God marks some people with this anointing, with a tangible anointing. Why? We need it. Amen. We need it. We sometimes just need a touch from heaven. We don't have to feel to believe, but God wants to touch his people. Amen. God desires to reach out to us and touch us with himself. How can he do it if we can't see him? He's got to work through people. And so he anoints, puts himself on us to touch you. And his power flows. Is he still doing this today? Absolutely. Absolutely. Does he want to touch us today? Yes. Yes. You may already be believing God for a healing. You may have already prayed. You may have already said, I believe, I receive. But God still wants to touch you. It's not a lack of faith to have hands laid on you. It is a demonstration of faith to have hands laid on you. You're saying, if I touch, I'll be whole. That's what this woman did. And Jesus said, your faith made you whole. People say sometimes, well, I don't know if it's a lack of faith to have hands laid on me. No, it's a demonstration of faith. Because when this woman did it, Jesus said, your faith. Do is come expecting God to touch you. I had a profound experience in God. Kevin mentioned it this morning. The most profound experience of my life up to this point. We were praying in a room with three other ministers. I was accustomed, like I said, to this healing anointing that I received by association with Brother Hagin's ministry, by serving him and working with him, submitting myself to his ministry. And the reward came. That transmittal of that healing anointing was in my hands, and I'd been accustomed to that. I was used to that. But we were praying in a room together and praying like they did in Acts chapter 4. We'd been instructed to pray along these lines, Lord, stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders will be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. Grant your servants boldness. We were praying for the body of Christ, for boldness to minister. Boldness to minister. We were praying for the whole body of Christ. Lord, raise up your bold ministers and stretch forth your hand to heal. And while we were praying that, I sensed myself starting to leave. And I was going up and I looked down and saw myself. And I didn't know what was happening. It frightened me. But it frightened me in the same sense, I think, that when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water, it frightened them, because that's not normal. In that sense, I hadn't experienced anything like that. And so I kind of came to myself instead of just going on. And the power of God came on me so strong I couldn't stand. And so I went up against the wall to keep from falling. And when I went up against the wall, I just slid down in a puddle on the floor. And the power of God came in my hands. And it didn't stop at my hands. It went all the way up my shoulders, like I had gotten a hold of live wire. And if any of you have accidentally got a hold of live wire, you know it's more like it's got you than you've got it. I couldn't let go. It was so strong. Actually felt painful it was that strong, because that is some hard current. And I grabbed one minister's hand. I said, please tell me you can feel this. It's so tangible. He said, I don't feel what you're feeling. And I reached out to Kevin and I said, tell me you can feel this. It's so real. And he said, I'm sorry, I can't feel it. And the Lord said this. He said, up until now, you've been ministering with an anointing you received by association. He said, but this one's yours. He said, I endeavored for you to come up to receive it. It would have been much easier on you if you had, but you didn't. And so heaven and earth came together in that moment and overlapped in such a degree that I felt it in my body. I felt God. I felt God. But it's not just for me to feel. It's for me to transmit that power to you, to undo what Satan has wrought, to effect a healing and a cure in you. Let's lift our hands and thank Him for His power. His power. His power. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Right there where you are. Right there where you are. Some of you even now can feel Him. Feel His presence. We thank you, Lord, that you want to touch us tonight. Bless your name. Bless your name.